That is a blessing to hear. Someone being able to take. Think about that. Joy is in the situation of living in Israel. And if you're trying to talk to someone about the scriptures in Israel, what is something that you probably won't be able to use? The New Testament. Okay? And we saw last week that Jesus, why wouldn't you be able to use the New Testament? They don't believe Jesus is the Messiah. So you need to go and use what part of the scriptures? Old Testament. And remember last week we saw Jesus walking on the road to Emmaus. And he said, "Oh, foolish ones, not to believe all that was written about me in the scriptures." And beginning at Moses, he showed to them all the things that were written about him in the Old Testament. And that's a good thing. As you read through your Old Testament, say, would I be able to help a Jewish person, a person who didn't believe that Jesus is the Messiah, to see Christ throughout the Old Testament? All right, good. I wanted to say, too, thank you to Dan. I appreciate Dan's spirit and thinking about what we're doing, not just let's just come up and sing a song, any announcements, okay, let's go on. There's nothing wrong with that, but I appreciate it when we think about what we're doing. We've been talking about worship the last couple of weeks, preaching on that, and worship is thinking correctly about God. And so we don't want to just do rote things or just things that are habitual without any thought to them. We do a lot of things that are habitual, and if we give thought to them, that's okay. But I appreciate Dan coming up with something different this morning, reading some of the scriptures together, singing about that. And I love that song. I just saw that the other day that Chris Anderson had just finished that song. And I printed it off and thought we'd sing it Sunday night. And then I looked at it again this morning and thought, natural revelation, God has whispered to us through creation. He has spoken to us through his word. And he has shouted to us through his Savior. God has displayed him publicly. God put him forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood. And I thought that just goes along well with what we've been looking at. Well, turn with me to Amos this morning. Amos 1. Might be a while since you looked at Amos in your Old Testament. How do you find the book of Amos? Beth, what did you say? Just keep flipping. In the Minor Prophets, somewhere back there before Matthew. And then I remember, I have to go back to my kindergarten days where I learned the books of the Bible in order and think, okay, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum. So it's back there a little ways still. What comes before Amos? Jonah, Joel, Amos, Obadiah. So you look for those, you kind of try to get some guideposts there as you go through there. Well, how do we know the Bible's trustworthy? What Jesus said about the scriptures and how he fulfilled them. We spent several weeks on that. He knew everything that had to be fulfilled. And he's going about his ministry saying, I'm this, and my disciples are going to abandon me because the scriptures must be fulfilled. And there's one who's going to betray me because the scriptures must be fulfilled. And I do all of these things because the scripture has to be fulfilled. Why does the scripture have to be fulfilled? What about the scriptures makes it have to be fulfilled? It's God's word, okay? If it's just your word or my word, does it have to be fulfilled? No. If it's God's word, it must be fulfilled because God spoke. All right, then the second one we've been looking at, the Old Testament claims to be God's word. The Old Testament claims to be God's word. God's man was given to man, it was recorded, and we saw the absolute necessity last week of speaking God's truth to ourselves and also to other people. Remember, what kind of people will have their part in the lake of fire that has to do with speaking God's truth? You remember that we saw that last Sunday morning? All liars, people who change God's word, and cowards. I wonder where that voice was coming from. That didn't sound like Alex. Happy cold day, Alex. Cowards. What do cowards have to do with the scriptures? What's a coward? Yes? Someone who backs down. Moves away from the fight. And again, we don't enjoy the fight. If you enjoy the fight, you have a problem. There's no enjoyment in being a fighter. But we love God, and because we love God, we love His truth. And if we back down from proclaiming His truth, we're being ashamed of Him and of His words. And Jesus said, whoever's ashamed of me and my words, I'll be ashamed of them and when they stand before me. So liars don't tell the truth. Cowards are afraid to speak the truth. And Jesus always spoke the truth to people. We need to speak the truth. Why should we speak truth? We're commanded to. That's the only way people will hear. Why else should we speak truth? Because Christ is grace and truth. It gives life. All right, good. Faith? We're here to make Him look big, okay? That's part of glorifying God, is magnifying His word. He's magnified His word. We're to magnify His word. All right? Before your family, before your coworkers, before your neighbors, is this important to you? If this is not important to you, then we have problems. We have spiritual problems if this is not important to us. This is the reason why we're here. And last week we saw, well, we love God. That's why we speak truth. We love others. That's why we speak truth to them. Last week's bulletin, that quote by Charles Spurgeon, it is treason against the King of Kings to tone down the Word of God. And you can say a lot of things that are true, but really what it comes down to, every generation has fights that are against the devil and his enemies against God's truth. And every generation, if we will fight battles that were fought 500 years ago that really don't apply to today, and we'll refuse to step into the battle and fight for what God's truth is today, then we really can't say we're being faithful to God. What are some of the great battles that we are facing as Christians today, as far as God's truth goes? Marriage. Marriage is between a man and a woman. We know that because God brought Adam and Eve together. God brought Eve to Adam, not Steve. It was Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve, right? And people will say, well, Jesus never, ever said anything about homosexuality. Really? Is that true? Jesus never said it is a sin. He'd never quoted like Leviticus for a man to lie with a man or a woman to lie with a woman. Jesus never did say that. But he said, have you not read that from the beginning God created them male or man and woman? And what God has joined together, let no man put asunder. And God is the author of marriage. And He's the one who says what marriage is. And just because our world and our courts and we have laws that will say marriage is this and that and the other, it doesn't change what God says marriage is. And so there really is no such thing as same-sex marriage. Because God says that's impossible to be a marriage. That's one instance today. All right, what else today would be a fight for the truth where we have to stand firm? Creation versus evolution or theistic evolution. Good. That's a huge thing today. And it's all seen in Romans 1, isn't it? All right, anything else? Relativism. Fine. If you want to believe that, that's fine. That's truth for you. But that's not truth for me. No. Jesus Christ is the truth. This is His word. And the more we bring His word into our conversations today, the more that will divide who God's people are and who God's people aren't. Those who are being saved will say that is truth. Those who are perishing will say that's foolishness. All right? Anybody else? I saw a hand over here. Abortion, okay? That's another big one today. I think in churches, in Christian churches, a big one today is the gospel. What is the gospel? And who is Jesus Christ? And just because people have talked about the gospel for decades doesn't mean they know what the gospel is. And we have to understand. And hence, lots of messages on the gospel and evangelism from Romans chapter 3. We have to be concrete about what is the gospel. If we're not, Satan loves when there's confusion or a lack of concreteness there, and he can make it just kind of say anything that people want it to say. All right, well, Jesus didn't always answer a question with a truthful answer. Now, what do you mean by that? All right, he always spoke the truth, but he didn't always give an answer when people asked him a question. I think of the time when the chief priests and scribes and elders came to him trying to trick him. By what authority are you doing these things? And Jesus knew what was in their hearts. And so he didn't answer them the way they wanted him to answer. He said, all right, I'll ask you a question. John's baptism, was it from heaven or was it from men? And the men, they kind of get away. We're going to talk about this a little bit. They're going to have a huddle. And so they huddle up and they say, well, if we say it's from man, all the people here believe that John was a prophet from heaven, and they'll get mad at us. So we can't say it's from man. If we say it's from heaven, it came from God, then Jesus is going to say to us, and why didn't you believe him? Well, you know, we really can't answer that question. And Jesus said, well, then simply I'm not going to answer the question that you asked me. Not because I'm not telling you the truth, but because why didn't Jesus answer their question? They weren't going to believe what he said anyway. James? Right. They weren't asking because they were interested in a truthful, honest question and answer. They were asking just trying to trick the truth, Jesus Christ. And if you spend any time with people, you'll know. If you have a heart to give grace and truth to people, you'll know when people come to you with an honest question. And there's other people who may not be very genuine, but they'll ask a question, and you can answer. We ought to try to answer those questions as often as we can. And then there are people who will ask questions just to try to get you to trip up. And that's when we need to be harmless as serpents and wise as doves. Harmless as doves and wise as serpents. Thanks, Dan. All right, yeah, harmless as serpents. Thank you. So, prophets and pastors and all Christians must be people who speak God's truth and proclaim it, because it's God's truth, it's not ours. It's not just our opinion. This is what God said. Well, last week we left off there, the space under number two, that more than 400 times the Old Testament says something like, and the Lord said. More than 400 times the Old Testament says something like, and the Lord said. Now, I was thinking about that as I was reviewing just a little bit this morning. And I've never read, anybody here ever read any part of the Book of Mormon? Linda. Now, do they say, and the Lord said? It's strange. All right. Why is it strange? I'm asking that. I'm just kind of putting you on the spot. I'm asking that because other people would read our Bible and say, that's just kind of strange. But I don't mind asking the question, because if this is truth, it can stand the question. If it's not truth, then we ought to empty out and go our ways, right? But this is truth. So, okay, more of man's opinions is what came across as you were going through there, okay? Somebody else raised their hand. Anybody else have any experience? Chad, you want to share anything about that? All right, a lot of it's plagiarized from the book of Matthew.
And a lot of it's also plagiarized with a work of fiction that was written back then. Joseph Smith just stole it word for word.
Okay, that he stole word for word other works of fiction from back then. All right, so it is definitely different. And when you read the scriptures, for example, Amos 1:3, it just comes out and says, "Thus says the Lord." Thus says the Lord. If you look at verse 6, "Thus says the Lord." Verse 9, "Thus says the Lord." Verse 13, "Thus says the Lord." 2:1, "Thus says the Lord." And it keeps going throughout the book. He just keeps saying, "The Lord is saying this." The Lord Jehovah. Go to Micah. Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah. Keep going forward to your right. Micah chapter 2. Verse 3. "Therefore, thus says the Lord." All right. When we speak with other people, we need to constantly make an effort to say this kind of thing. "Well, you know, God says." If we just kind of leave out the phrase, you might say what God says, but if we say, "Well, this," that's okay. You're saying what God says. But if you put the authority behind what you say, people have a problem then. People then have to know their problem is with what the Lord says. It might be with you because you're following what the Lord says, you're giving what the Lord says, but we have to tell people, "The Lord says this. God says this in this part of His Word. God says this." We put the authority, and God is very happy to take the responsibility for "thus says the Lord." We need to make sure that we give God's authority when we do that. Micah, Nahum. Nahum chapter 1. Verse 12. "Thus says the Lord, though they are at full strength and many, they will be cut down and pass away. Though I have afflicted you, I will afflict you no more." And so we have there, we have "thus says the Lord." One more, Haggai. Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai. Or Haggai, as some people say. Verse 5. "Now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways." Consider your ways. Now, if you say to a friend, or if a friend says to you, "Consider your ways. Consider where you're going in life." You know, we kind of have the option to take or leave what they say, right? If Daniel says to me, "Mike, consider your ways." Well, I consider Daniel a friend, so I'll consider what he says. But I might end up saying, "Well, no, I think Daniel's out to left field there. That's crazy what he said." All right, he's entitled to his opinion. And how many people do that with God? Well, he's entitled to his opinion, but I don't even believe that's him speaking. Consider your ways. There is a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is the way of death. And when God says it, we can say, "I'll take it or leave it," and many people leave it. But we really can't take it or leave it. It is what God says, and it's truth, and we do not have the option. If we choose the option of disobedience, that's the option of death. And there's nothing good that comes from that. All right, Zechariah 1. Haggai, Zechariah. And we'll read here verses 1 through 4. "In the eighth month, in the second year of Darius, the word of the Lord came to the prophet Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, son of Iddo, saying, 'The Lord was very angry with your fathers. Therefore say to them, Thus declares the Lord of hosts, Return to me, says the Lord of hosts, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. Do not be like your fathers, to whom the former prophets cried out, Thus says the Lord of hosts, Return from your evil ways and from your evil deeds. But they did not hear or pay attention to me, declares the Lord.'" Just there's something in our world today, and I think it's always been there. Do people want to hear the truth? Have people ever wanted to hear the truth? Noah and the ark. All those years that Noah built that boat, didn't rain. God says there's going to be a flood. What's a flood? That's craziness. A long time. Thus says the Lord. And people didn't obey. They didn't take heed to what God said. And so people always, what do people want to hear? What they want to hear. People want to hear what they want to hear. What do they want to hear? You're okay. You're not bad. You're good. And really, we had a shooting this week. 12 people died? 9? People, we can look to blame a lot of different things. Well, his upbringing was terrible, or this, or he's from a certain religion, or he was hurt this way, or he was on drugs. Jesus said, if you just reduce it down, Jesus said, out of the heart proceed murders. I mean, it's not rocket science, and people will spend studies and psychological exams and money to find out what made this guy tick. Well, he's just like you and he's just like me. He had an evil heart, and that's where this came from. And you and I are capable of the same kind of evil if we're left to ourselves and if God didn't do anything in us. It's by his grace. Well, what were the conditions at the time of the prophets in Israel? Give me one word that would describe the people of Israel at the time of these prophets. Rebellion. Idolatrous. They were captive, or going into captivity. There was unbelief. There was apostasy. They had the truth, and they rejected it. And we live in similar times today, especially in the professing church. And God spoke to them in the days of the prophets. And what did they say? God came speaking to them, and what would they say? What do you mean, speaking to me like that? I'm a Jew. I'm fine. There's nothing wrong with me. And I want us to think again, apply this to our own lives. We are often people like that. The prophets were not popular people, were they? There probably were no statues of the prophets back in these times. Hey, we love this prophet. He's just a great guy. Well, they didn't have the option to change the message that God gave to them. Thus says the Lord. And if you're the only person saved in your family today, you know what it means to suffer when you speak God's words into a situation. We're to speak the truth in love. We're supposed to leave the results to God. And how many of you have had family members speak against you when you've said something that the Lord says in his word? What do people say? What do your family members, what do coworkers say when you say something that God says? That's like the trump card or the wild card, right? I got to draw 4 for Uno, you know. You're going to draw 4 because we go to church too. So because I go to church too, you just can't say anything to me at all about what God's word says. Faith? Right. A lot of times in a situation, people will just be quiet and they'll listen to what you say. They don't want to ask a question in front of other people, though, but later on, if you're a person who speaks with grace and truth, a lot of times you'll find people will come to you and say, it might be a long time later, but they will come to you and say, you know what you said? What do you think? What does God say about this? And you'll have opportunities with that. Right, that is very true. It's a lot of times you'll answer a question, nobody will say anything. You might even get negative feedback from them. But when God brings a trial or a major crisis into their lives, they don't have anywhere else to turn. And they will turn to you if they know that you're a person who has spoken truth with grace and love in the past. Their eyes are blinded. Peter says in the scriptures that there are many things that are difficult to understand. We saw that verse a while ago. And the ungodly people twist it. They twist what Paul said as they twist the rest of the scriptures. But there are also parts of the scriptures that are really not difficult to understand, aren't there? For example, Romans 3:23 is not difficult to understand. For all have sinned. If someone says they can't understand that, what are they saying? Can they really not understand that? They don't want to. They're saying that's simply an excuse and a rejection of what God has said. I don't believe that. So at your job, when they say, what do you say about the Bible? What do people, anybody in your job, if you talk about the Bible or if the Bible comes up, what do they say about the Bible? Bunch of stories. I tried to read that one time and I didn't get very far. That's boring. Wow. Somebody said a book was as boring as the Bible. Chad, what did you say? It's a truth. All right. Anything else? Some people just say it's foolish. Some say it's a waste of time. A lot of people get angry with it. In Mexico, one of the men in our church, Nicolas, his mom and dad remained in the Catholic Church, and he would talk to them, and his dad would get furious when he would tell him what the Bible said. He would just get furious with him. And as the years have gone on, his dad, I believe, is not very far from dying, and God has softened his heart somewhat to listen to what Nico tells him from the scriptures. But we should pray when we speak with people, God, open people's hearts. If you give a tract to someone, or you just walk by someone and you're giving them a tract, or in a drive-thru perhaps, or at a restaurant with a tip, make sure it's always with a tip. You do that and you just say, God, please open their hearts to see the truth. Open their eyes. Mrs. Stabler. That's just a crutch. That's right. Okay? Well, the Old Testament speaks for itself as to the truthfulness of God's Word. And may God give us trust and confidence in the Bible as His Word. The prophets were commissioned by God to say what God said. So over 400 times it says something like, and God said, or the Word of the Lord, thus says the Lord. Many times the prophets spoke in the first person, but they said, or God says, go to your people, go to my people and say this to them, I am the Lord your God. Apart from me, there is no other. I'm the only one. And so they spoke in first person at times, but that was because God was telling them what to say. Go to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. All right, we have here King Jehoshaphat. I thought as a kid, what a name. I'm glad my name was not Jehoshaphat. But Jehoshaphat was one of the good kings in the divided kingdom. If he was a good king, if there were any good kings, which part of the kingdom did they come from? Judah. Why? There were no good kings from the northern 10 tribes, all right? And that had to do with when the kingdom separated, Jerusalem, which was where God commanded them to come and worship, was in the south, was in Judah. And So that part stayed with the tribe of Judah, and when they separated, the king said, we can't send our people there to worship God, so we have to make these high places. They set up golden calves in, I think, Dan and Bethel. And so from the beginning or the inception of that part of the kingdom, they were always idolaters. We're not worshiping God correctly. And so they never had a king that followed after God in the northern part. Jehoshaphat was from the south. And verse 20, then they rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And when they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, Judah, and inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you will be established. Believe his prophets, and you will succeed. What does that tell you about God's word and the prophets? They weren't held in high regard. They were on the same plane. Believe in the Lord your God, you'll be established. Believe his prophets and you will succeed. So if you believe God and his word, you're going to believe what the prophets say, because the prophets, his prophets, are speaking what? His word. Okay, good. So to believe the prophets was to believe God. To believe the prophets was to believe God. Now your next space. We see God commanding that his words be written down and remembered. God commanded that his words be written down and remembered. Now, almost every week I give you a handout, or a couple handouts. Every person who receives one has an option. You can fill in the blanks. You can leave it blank. You can make a paper airplane. You can throw it in the garbage. You have a number of options. But I never say something like, if you don't fill this out and bring it in next week, you'll have a $1,000 fine that you can put in the offering plate. Maybe that's an idea. No, that's not a good idea. There is no command that accompanies those little handouts. There's no command whatsoever. If you find it useful, use it. If not, don't worry about it. It's not important. God commanded that his words be written down and remembered. And look in Exodus 17. We have a good example of that there. Exodus 17. Here in Exodus 17, Moses is the author. And if he says these things, but God has not told him to write them down, then what is Moses? False prophet? Liar. All right? If God has not given the prophets these commands to write down God's words, then every prophet who said, thus says the Lord, is a liar. But God did command them. Verse 14, then the Lord said to Moses, write this as a memorial in a book and recite it in the words of Joshua, that I will utterly blot out the memory of Amalek from under heaven. All right? Moses said, God said to me, write this down and recite it, remember it. So God commanded that his words be written down and remembered. Go to chapter 24. Chapter 24. Verse 4. And Moses wrote down all the words of the Lord. Exodus 34. Chapter 34. Verse 1, the Lord said to Moses, cut for yourself two tablets of stone like the first, and I will write on the tablets the words that were on the first tablets which you broke. How did he break those? James? He dropped them with anger. he dropped them with force. He threw them down, okay? So God says to Moses, you cut yourself two more tablets of stone, and I will write on the tablets the words that were on the very first tablets, which you broke. Now go up to verse 27. And the Lord said to Moses, write these words, for in accordance with these words, I have made a covenant with you and with Israel. Have this written down. Now, if somebody says to you, the Bible's not God's word, it'd be an interesting experience to ask them, so do you believe that Moses is a liar? What?
Who's Moses?
If what we read here is not true, then Moses is a liar. Now, much of our world still today has heard about Moses. Now, I had an experience this week. A man came by on a bike looking for some help. And I was driving in a couple Saturday nights ago, and he was driving out on his bike, and I was kind of in a hurry, and he asked for some help, and I said I didn't have any help at the time, and he kind of rode off on his bike. Well, he came in this week, probably Monday or Tuesday morning, and he was talking to me, and I was like, well, I'm in my mind thinking, if you'll sit and listen to the gospel for a little while, I'll take you to the store to get some food. And we talked for about two and a half hours, and he can't read. He's 55 years old. And he said, I can tell you the sounds like A is ah, and B is buh, and C is kuh. And that's as far as he got. And I said, well, do you know anything about the Bible? He goes, I don't know nothing about the Bible. And I said, well, have you ever heard of Adam and Eve? He said, I don't know them. And he said, well, did they ever find Noah's Ark? So he knew something about that. And we talked. And I thought, you know, even in our country, we have people who don't know who Adam and Eve are. And so there is a great lack. There is a famine for God's word. And we're the ones who have God's word. So either God is a liar or Moses is a liar. What is written down by someone else then is a lie. Now, it's interesting. A lot of people wouldn't make an accusation that Moses is a liar. But instead, they would say, you know, God's a liar. People might say that today. They would say that they believe a person sooner than they would believe God. This is very difficult. Many people who grow up in a false religion, that's a lie. And they're confronted with the truth of the scriptures. Think of yourself. You grow up, and some of you weren't saved as younger children. You were saved older in life, and you're confronted with the gospel. And you've grown up in a different religion. And what thoughts come to your mind when you're confronted with what the truth of the gospel is? Think about that. Jim? Can't be that simple. I have to do something. You think, my parents taught me this. I've grown up in this. If what I'm hearing is true, then what? Dorothy? My parents lied. All right? You may not say that my parents lied, but Becky? They were wrong. And isn't that a difficult thing? If what I'm hearing or what I'm reading here in the scriptures is true, then what I've believed, everything I've been taught, the church I was part of, all of that is not true. And that's a very hard place to come to. And that's why salvation is of God, because only God can say, this is my word, and you're going to have to turn your back on father, mother, brother, sister, church, whole community that you grew up in. And take my word for what it is, as it is in truth, the word of God. I don't think we would say, well, you lied to me my whole life. Because as Dan mentioned a couple weeks ago, you know, we're not really sure at times of the lies that we do believe. We believe it's truth. We're not thinking I'm telling you a lie. But if it's not the truth of God's word, it's Satan's lies to us. And Satan's lies to us are presented as truths that you ought to believe. So people, we have to be humble. They have to be honest. They have to totally say, this is the truth. That was not the truth. And that's just a difficult thing. We have to give people understanding. We have to give people time. Because when you come to that realization, a couple months ago when I preached on justification, and I mentioned those three canons from the Council of Trent, from the Catholic Church, that pronounced anathemas on people who believed justification by faith alone in Christ alone. And the Hoynes family was with us that Sunday, and they both grew up Catholic. And Nancy said, I never had any idea that the church believed that. Denny said, I did. He said, I totally knew when I trusted Christ, when I read the Bible, that either if this is what the Bible says, then I'm going to be under the curse of the Catholic Church for what I believe. And God continued to draw him, and God saved him, and that opens your eyes to the truth. God is the one who takes away the scales, the blinders from our eyes, and opens our eyes and gives us truth. And I pray God will do that today to us, that he'll continue to teach us his truth and give us confidence that the Bible is the Word of God. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for your truth. There are so many siren songs today, Father, that call for our attention and call for our time, call for our affections. And Father, your truth is life. Your word is life. And I pray again that you would help us to be renewed in our desire and commitment to trust in your scriptures, to trust in them and to read them, to know you as the God of the Bible. Father, help us to know you and learn you, to love you, and to live you before this world. And we pray this today in Christ's name. Amen.